Are you tired of the 9-to-5 lifestyle? Do you want more freedom to do what you want, when you want it, without sacrificing your current income? Then this is the show for you. Every week, we dive into John's journey towards financial freedom and everything he has learned since 2014. Real estate investing, cryptocurrency, stocks, private lending, foreign residency, tax saving strategies, infinite banking, assets protection, and much more. Now, here is your host, the founder of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus, John Rickgarn.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening to this. I am your host, John Rickgarn of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. And today we have a great guest, Barry of Focus Wealth Group. Now, Barry and I actually got connected a little over 5 years ago. I think it was through Paradigm Life, if I remember correctly. And Barry introduced me to that horrible, awful, god-awful, disgusting thing called whole life insurance. And I say that, of course, if you're a, you know, Susie Orman follower or a Dave Ramsey follower that seems to think the whole life insurance is, you know, a scam, a ripoff, numerous euphemisms there. However, I can, you know, personally attest for my, you know, from my side, the last 5.5 years, I've actually found it very beneficial, both to have, you know, as an insurance, because I, you know, it's a matter of when, not if I'm going to pass on, and also to have kind of like more of a private bank, shall we say, in my back pocket, where I've been able to utilize it for, you know, short-term cash needs and or investments. With that, I won't take up, or I won't continue to talk too much. I will pass this on to Barry as well, so he can introduce himself and also tell us what whole life insurance is and how that can be beneficial to everyone. So Barry, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, John. It's a pleasure. I know having you as a client and a friend, you've been to St. George before, and
yeah,
it's been a pleasure. So thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Just a little bit of background. So I'm 21 years in financial services, 16 years as a real estate investor. I do have clients all throughout the United States. I'm the founder of Focus Wealth Group. And then as an infinite banking practitioner, I help clients all throughout the country grow their money guaranteed and tax-free. And I love your intro about the horribleness of insurance, because I hear it often.
Yep.
And especially from people like Dave and Susie that, in my opinion, don't really understand it. There's a lot of blanket statements to say don't ever own a whole life policy, yet many, many people do. And so their blanket statements are sometimes harmful. There's one other slide I want to share here before I get into like the nuts and bolts and
sure,
ask a bunch of questions. Let me pull this next one up here.
And for those of you listening to this podcast while working out or driving, you know, so forth, there will be a YouTube version on my YouTube channel that you can view this as well.
Wonderful. You see all the list of these great companies and banks and even, you know, Disney and McDonald's. I throw this up here because this is social proof. These are people, companies, corporations, banks that own multi-million, if not billions of dollars worth of whole life insurance. And we have to ask the question, why? Mm-hmm. If whole life insurance is as bad as Dave or Susie say it is, why do so many people, banks and corporations, have it in their own portfolio? And we're going to talk about that today. Okay. What I love to share is primarily you're growing money guaranteed. Okay. You have access to liquid cash now. You don't have to wait till you're 59 and a half like you would in a qualified plan like a 401k or an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And you're growing money tax-free, John.
Sure. Yeah, and with the Biden administration, I'm sure taxes, unfortunately, are going to go up for everyone, regardless of what what the administration says.
Yeah, and for me, when I started in the industry 21 years ago, I was actually securities licensed. I was putting my own money and my clients' money into the market.
Okay.
And I was being taught by these Wall Street guys that, hey, the way to grow wealth is through stocks and mutual funds. And I bought into that. But I quickly realized it took about a year or two, but it was quick in relation to my career that it wasn't working. I was getting calls from clients and they were saying, Barry, I'm not making money, or Barry, I'm losing money. Where are these great returns that you told me we were going to get? I was so new in the business, I didn't know what to tell them. So I went back to my mentor. His name was Bryce. And Bryce said, tell your clients they're in it for the long haul. And I heard that over and over again. You've probably heard that. Others listening have probably heard that. The market's going to go up. It's going to go down. You're in it for the long haul. I just couldn't handle that. I got tired of that answer over and over. And I wanted to find something better. And that's when I discovered real estate investing and high cash value whole life insurance.
Okay.
And I say high cash value because these policies that I write, that I help clients set up like yourself, are not traditional whole life policies.
Okay.
These are uniquely properly designed where we actually want to keep the death benefit low, but maximize the cash value growth. And Dave Ramsey or Susie, they don't understand that.
Okay.
Whole life insurance has a lot of benefits that are within that framework that you just simply can't get anywhere else. So I discovered whole life insurance. I now coordinate it with real estate, my own business, and teach others how to do the same. And then most of the time, frankly, John, we're outperforming 401k and mutual fund and IRA performance anyway. Plus you get all these other benefits along the way.
Sure. Okay. Now you mentioned the outperforming. Now, I know every insurance policy is a little bit different. I think kind of the average, I hate to say it, but is usually between 3% and 5% returns a year. But, you know, Dave Ramsey, he is a huge proponent of the mutual fund that gets 12% average returns every year. And I've yet to find that mutual fund, but let's just say for, you know, argument's sake, that magical Dave Ramsey fund does exist. And, you know, I'm not the best at math, but 12% certainly seems a lot higher than 3%, 4%, or 5%. So how in the world are you outperforming, like you said, the other investments when the return is simply a fraction of what they are proposing that you can get in a mutual fund?
Yeah, great question. And 12% sounds appealing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just need to find it.
Yeah, we all want it, but where is it? Even the best of the best index out there, because indexes usually perform better than a mutual fund. Mm-hmm. So take the S&P 500, for example. It's the most popular, sought-after index for investing out there. Well, the S&P 500, even its 20-year history, has only averaged 6%, about 6.1%. Okay. That's 20 years. So you're right. Where do you find a 12% consistent mutual fund? You don't. So what Dave is saying is, number one, he's putting out there a very high number that's an average rate of return. And we want to be clear that an average is completely meaningless. It might look good on paper, but if you earn 12% one year and you lose 20% the next, you have an average 12%, right? The other thing that Dave fails to mention are the eroding factors of an average return. You have to minus out volatility, and we call this sequence of returns.
Okay.
Every year you might earn 12 or 15, but you also could lose 5, 10, 20%. When you put real money into the math equation, those actual returns are much lower. Here's a very simple example. Let's say you earn 100% return on your $100,000 investment.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds wonderful.
Yep.
But the next year, you lose 50%. So you're back down to the same 100 that you started with. A lot of people think, well, I only have to earn 50% to make back up the 200,000 number. No. 50% of 100 is only 150. you have to have a full 100% return just to get your money back, not even make money, but just get to back to where you are. So my point is, if you have, say, a 10% return, you can't just have a 10% earnings rate to get back to even. You have to have 12 to 13% to get back to even.
Okay. And I think you highlight a point there too. You know, even, you know, let's just say it goes up 100% and then goes down. And yes, the gurus can say, well, you had an average return of 25, 50%, because all they're doing is taking the totals divided by the number of years. Even if you got to that, then you obviously have to factor in inflation. I mean, you said, you know, 6% return, which, okay, nominally sounds great, but we are in this quote transitory inflationary period at about 5.4% based on the Fed. So even, you know, if you're quote back to $100,000, well, your purchasing power is obviously less, and, you know, factor that in, you're probably going to need even a higher return to get back to where you were before.
That's true. And then you have two other eroding factors also. One is the fees. Mm-hmm. Fees in 401ks and IRAs are high and legally don't even have to be disclosed. And then three is taxes. People don't realize today they're sitting on a tax ticking time bomb. Mm-hmm. When they take money out of their 401k, it's 100% taxable, John.
Yep.
And chances are they will pay more tax on it then as if they just paid the tax today. My advice most of the time is pay your tax today and then grow money tax-free.
Agreed.
So you don't have to be worried relative to what taxes will be in the future.
Agreed. And yeah, myself and my wife actually did that a number of years ago. With the exception of her workplace plan, we've converted the bulk of our IRA assets to Roth IRAs. Like you said, we paid the tax now versus later. I think it's a little bit, I don't want to say false advertising or lying per se, but a lot of the financial advisors say, well, you know, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket when you retire, so therefore you're going to save on taxes. And I actually did an article on this about 3 years ago, and it's like, well, you know, just for a minute, let's imagine the government isn't up to their eyeballs in debt and tax rates stay the same as what they are. That if we, you know, you're on the 25% tax bracket and then fast forward to your retirement years, oh, well, you're in the 10% tax bracket, it's, you know, you're saving money. Well, if you, you know, just throwing in round numbers, put in $10,000, 25% of that is $2,500 in taxes. Well, you, people think you saved that, but you really deferred that tax into the future. When that $10,000, you know, let's just say that $10,000 grows to, I don't know, 40 or maybe even 50,000 by the time you retire. And now you're in the 10% brackets, as the guru said you're going to be. Well, if I pull out my calculator, 10% of $50,000 comes to $5,000 of taxes, which is twice as much as I would have paid if I had just paid the tax up front back when I had originally earned the money. And like I said, or like you said, I think just having it, you know, pay the tax now, historically tax rates are very low. Unfortunately, I think we're going to see higher taxes and, you know, possibly an attack on the traditional retirement accounts. Recently, ProPublica, I think, announced Peter Thiel. Yeah, I think it was kind of a one in a million shot you could do this, but he's been vilified that he put $1,000 or $2,000 worth of PayPal stock when it was in its infant stages in a Roth IRA. Well, fast forward, I think 22, 23 years, now he's sitting on $5 billion. Wow. And of course, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, AOC, all of them are like, oh, well, that's $5 billion. We should be able to tax that. And I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. It was all legal. But of course, now they think everyone's going to have, you know, multi-million, multi-billion dollar Roth accounts. So if that was, you know, let's just say, you know, hypothetically, AOC and Joe Biden and the Democratic, you know, leadership in Congress, let's just say they are able to, you know, put some more caps or more regulations on the traditional retirement accounts. Would whole life insurance policies or the high cash value ones you talk about, would they be impacted by any of the proposed legislation that's been proposed recently?
They would not. Now, okay. there is a section of IRS code out there called 7702 that specifically is life insurance based.
Okay.
There hasn't been a significant change since the early 80s where they came out with what's called the MEC limit, meaning, and it's really cool because the government has basically given their stamp of approval, John, on these high cash value policies. The MEC limit just simply says, yes, you can overfund very heavily with cash value, but we're not going to let you abuse it and go over a certain threshold based on your death benefit amount. So since then, nothing's happened relative to taxation. I don't think there ever will be, because life insurance death benefit is a boon to the economy. Mm-hmm. It takes off the strain of government programs. In other words, if you have a family member pass away and you get life insurance proceeds, you're not begging the government for assistance. Not only that, you're also probably spending that money and building up and helping and thriving in the economy.
Sure. And I, as I understand it too, those proceeds, you know, if you have a death benefit of $1 million, $5 million, et cetera, as long as all the rules are followed, that money goes to your heirs tax free. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So I don't know. I'm kind of just looking over my notes here. So you have, you know, high cash value, outperforms, you know, traditional retirement accounts. It remains to be seen, but as of this point in this recording, seems very protected from the government and taxation. Why do the Dave Ramseys and Susie Orbans just absolutely hate these policies? I mean, I'm not a big football fan, but I'm not saying that, like, I hate football. I don't want anyone to watch football. If you want to, go for it. But as, I mean, they just vilify these policies. I mean, like, why are they so hated? And why do they say, you know, these are a ripoff, get term insurance instead?
Yeah. Follow the money. Follow the money. So, and I don't want to get into the weeds here, but
sure,
Dave and Susie are compensated by the term insurance companies and some Wall Street dollars, right?
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of marketing that goes on here. I like to call Dave and Susie, they are so-called gurus, but they're really just talking heads, right?
Yeah. These
financial talking heads, financial pundits. And when you follow the money and you look at the marketing, Wall Street and most financial institutions don't want you to know about high cash value whole life insurance, because they recognize every dollar that someone puts into a plan like this is a dollar that isn't going into a mutual fund or a 401k. And think about this from the perspective of Wall Street and financial advisors. They are earning fees every year off of what's called AUM, assets under management. The more money that they have and manage, the more fees they earn. Billions, trillions of dollars they manage. Well, if that goes away, they don't earn the fees. And here's what's ridiculous, in my opinion. People investing in 401ks and IRAs and mutual funds, they're the ones taking all the risk. They're the ones putting up all the money. And if they have a losing year, guess what? Wall Street and the financial advisors, they still earn the fees off the total portfolio. So whether you're up or down, Wall Street is always winning. They're always earning fees off of your money. They don't want that taken away. Matter of fact, Ted Benna, who is known as the father of the 401k, has said as of these last few years, he created a monster. The 401k is not being used today as it was intended to be used in the 70s.
Right.
And he's trying to correct it, but frankly, it's a ship that just won't get turned. It will never get corrected because the mindset of Americans is, oh, I've got to have a 401k because that's what Wall Street has convinced us to do.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I can even speak to it. We've been indoctrinated, I think, almost since high school, you know, go to school, get a good job, pay yourself first into a 401k and IRA, and come whatever age in the future, 59 and a half or 67, then we're in utopia and just have this lovely stream of income after that. So you had mentioned about the fees, and I think just kind of on the outside, I think a lot of people even almost underestimate how much those fees can be detrimental to their accounts. And I'm just throwing out a simple 1% fee. And you have alluded to, obviously, they can hide a lot of fees. I think on average, 2-3% on a actively managed fund is, you know, kind of in along the norm. But even at a 1% fee, I think a lot of people just think, well, I got a 7% return last year. Okay, take off 1%. I still get 6. They get 1. I think that's a good trade-off. But you had mentioned the assets under management, that's they're not taking, you know, a portion of the increase of your fund. They're taking 1% of the entire value of your fund, whether it went up, down, or sideways. I mean, if you're sitting on $100,000 and it went up, you know, double to $200,000, you know, they're taking, you know, 1% or $2,000. If that $100,000 goes down to $50,000, well, you just had a 50% loss. Well, they're going to take another 1% on top of that. And yeah, they'll probably argue, oh, well, we didn't get paid as much as we would have in a bull market year. But like you said, they're still getting paid, even though you took all the risk and lost a lot of your money.
That's right. And a 1% fee doesn't seem that large. Mm-hmm. But when you run that fee over a 30, 40, 50 year time frame, it can literally erode 30 to 40% of someone's portfolio.
Jeez.
Which seems astronomical. Even John Bogle gave a statistic. Now, he used a 2% fee, but he said 50% of your portfolio can be eroded with a 2% fee.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who's well known in the financial world. He's the, you know, founder and CEO of Vanguard. And he started Vanguard because he wanted to show lower fees. So he's saying even a 2% fee is extremely detrimental. And frankly, people are paying that and more, but don't realize it.
Right.
And when you look at what the wealthy do in this country, John, it isn't that they've got wealth created from a 401k or an IRA.
Right.
If you look at the truly wealthy people in this country, they're primarily doing two or three things. They own their own business. Mm-hmm. They own real estate. And they all have cash value whole life insurance. And the coordination of those things are growing wealth. And you can definitely be a highly paid W-2 employee. There's a lot of them out there. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to get sucked in the trap of do what we're told to do in school and don't look at anything else.
Sure.
What we're talking about today is contrarian, but it works. And this is what the wealthy do. And so we have to differently and follow what they do in order to create that type of wealth in our own lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a speaker I met about 3 years ago, Matt Terrio. I think he's always said, stop doing what poor people do, start doing what rich people do. And I think I've always looked at with the whole life insurance, you know, okay, Dave and Susie say it's so, you know, horrible. Well, if it is so horrible, why do the Rockefellers and the Romneys and, you know, even Walt Disney, you know, have or have had these policies and use them? I mean, I think if it's, you know, so horrible, nobody in the, you know, wealthier, the 1% would be even touching these things.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about exactly what it is.
Okay.
I think that would be helpful for people to understand. I think most people understand term life insurance, which is you buy a policy, you have life insurance for 20 or 30 years, and then once you retire or that policy lapses, the life insurance is gone, and it was there to protect you and your family. We call that kind of a needs analysis.
Okay.
I pass away prematurely, it'll take care of the mortgage payment, maybe put the kids through college and pay for a couple weddings.
Sure.
But the statistic is less than 2% of term insurance ever pays out a death benefit.
Okay.
So my point is most people outlive their term insurance. The second type of insurance is permanent insurance. And there's two basic types of permanent insurance. One is called universal life, which I don't recommend. And we may not have time to get into it because it has increasing insurance costs and some other things too. But the other one is whole life, which is what I promote, I love, I've done this for a long time, I sell it, and it's been around for over 200 years. The reason it's permanent is because it never goes away. Doesn't mean you have to make a premium payment your entire life, but it's permanent. So whether you pass away at 40 or 140, the policy is still there for you and pays out a death benefit.
Okay.
The difference is term insurance does have a lower premium. mm-hmm. where whole life has a higher premium. And a lot of people think, oh my gosh, I can't get a whole life policy. It's more expensive.
Yep.
It isn't true. If you insure your life with term insurance only, you'll actually pay more for it, because as you have to renew either a 10 or 20 or 30 year term policy, and you're 10 or 20 or 30 years older, the cost for that term insurance is now doubled, tripled, quadrupled, mm-hmm. or even higher. Whole life insurance, John, when you started those policies 5 years ago, your premium never increases.
Right.
So you actually locked in a great low rate 5 years ago, because you'll be paying the same premium 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And there can even come a point where you stop and you've got all this cash value.
Yeah.
Whole life insurance is like owning a house. You have equity. That equity is cash value. Term insurance is like renting a house. There's no equity. There's sure. nothing to show for it, right?
Right.
And we as investors and entrepreneurs, and business owners, we want equity, right?
Exactly.
And that's exactly how we see a whole life policy that's structured correctly. It truly is an asset in someone's portfolio, and you're growing money guaranteed every year.
Sure. No, that makes sense. So, and then I think you had mentioned with the term, and kind of a, just an interesting story for my listeners too. Our State Farm agent, his name's not Jake, but we've used him for many, many years. It's not Jake from State Farm, it's Paul. But he's always shared an interesting story that between him and his brothers and sisters, they have 10 cousins. And of those 10, I think by age 12 of all of them, like 3 out of the 10 were diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which of course is one of those boxes that if you're applying for life insurance, unfortunately, most, if not all companies will not cover you then. So even just in one family, you know, as far as that, you know, buy term and invest the difference. Well, if someone says, well, I'm going to wait later, get insurance, and life happens, whether it's, you know, Crohn's or cancer or, you know, a stroke or some other disability, kind of back to that locking in, you're not only locking in the price, he put it best as you're insuring their insurability. And right. I think even that gets a little lost too, where, you know, okay, I'm a new dad, you know, he's 1 month old as of tomorrow, and we got a very small life insurance policy on them. And, you know, it's not a huge amount. And I think a lot of the experts will say, if he passed away young, yes, it'd be sad. Yes, it'd be horrible. But we're not financially dependent on him as he is financially dependent on us. Whereas he's locked in, he's going to have that for the rest of his life versus, you know, say at age 15, he has, you know, I don't know, diabetes or one of the, I think you said there's like 8 risk factors that the insurance companies underwrite. And if one of them are triggered, a lot of times they won't even insure a customer, whether it's term or whole life.
That's right. And not only that, but you've locked in the time value of money for him. Think of the growth he'll have in that cash value 30, 40, 50 years from now. It will be remarkable. So insurability is important. I've often said to clients, why not choose both? And this is mm-hmm. what I've done personally. I have convertible term insurance because I'm yep. married with 5 children, and I have multiple whole life policies. So I do both. My term insurance will eventually expire,
yep.
but I've converted some of my term to whole life like you've done as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I have both. And I actually had a 41-year-old client pass away about 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't know he was going to come down with stage 4 skin cancer when he first met with me, but he took my advice to implement what's called full human life value. Okay. So yes, we set up a lower death benefit on the high cash value policy, but he wanted to make up the difference of his full human life value with term insurance, which is what I recommend. Because look, if you pass away and your spouse gets asked a question like, hey, how much death benefit do you want on John if he mm-hmm. passes away? I hope your wife would say, Barry, as much as I can get.
Yep. Right?
And that's full human life value. That full human life value protection now gives us the peace of mind. it gives us the certainty that we want in our lives. And I believe consciously or subconsciously, we'll just perform better knowing, hey, if anything happens to me, I'm going to be okay. When my daughter turned 16, one of my daughters turned 16, she said, Dad, I want you to take me skydiving. And I was like, let me think about this.
Sure. Let me check those policies now.
Yeah. And I did. I was like, you know, what do I have to be scared of? I've got multi-millions of death benefit on my life. So when she turned 16, John, we jumped out of a plane. We went skydiving and I had no fear. It was just total excitement.
Wow.
But I partially did it because I knew I was protected and my family was protected. Mm-hmm. I had no concern. Oh my gosh, if I die today, I'm going to leave my family financially destitute with no life insurance. That wasn't the case. So consciously and subconsciously, having full human life value and these policies in place, I believe you'll live a more abundant life. It mm-hmm. really can happen that way.
Right. I think they had the, what's the old adage, money can't buy happiness, but I do think it can buy security and well-being as well. So.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Well, this has all been very good. I hope our listeners have gotten some good nuggets of this. And at the very, very least, maybe have just kind of, you know, started to question the, you know, quote unquote normal path and maybe looking into contrarian investing, whether it's, you know, the whole life insurance versus term. Barry, if a listener was interested in learning more and maybe even opening up a policy, what would be the best way to get in touch with you?
My website directly, which is www.focuswealthgroup.com.
Okay.
Focuswealthgroup.com. I advise people watch a few of my webinars and then let's put your numbers together and look at these numbers on your own life. I'll help you with your goals and implementing a properly structured policy. It's really cool because when you see your own numbers, the light bulb turns on. You get
sure.
like, wow, this is me. And then I start teaching clients how to coordinate these policies to buy more real estate, mm-hmm. to invest in their own business, to do these entrepreneurial things they want to do. This policy has multiple living benefits. It's called life insurance, not
yep. benefits,
right? So we want to use the policy throughout our lives, and that's what I help clients do.
Perfect. Sounds good. And I will have that website and info in the show notes. So if you're driving or working out right now, don't worry about trying to find a pen and paper to write it down. I'll have it there for you. Barry, thanks again for being on the podcast. You're actually, I think, one of the first 5 interviews that I've been able Excellent. To do. So thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you know, all your help and guidance over the years, and of course your friendship. And I hope it, you know, if even one listener, you know, maybe gets a few nuggets out of this and reaches out to you, then I think this was overall a success.
Yes. Thank you so much, John. My pleasure.
You bet. Thanks, Barry. And thanks again for listening to the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. Be sure to hit subscribe and stay tuned for next week.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.